Well, it's a blessing to be here today. I'll ramble just a minute, let our sound folks get the level for me, and introduce myself a little more. I had a birthday yesterday. I'm 64 years old. I have grown through my hair. I've been at the same church that I started 36 years, and we started properly. We submitted ourselves to a local independent Baptist church in our county to be a mission work from under them, commissioned by their church vote. And we never solicited members from other churches in town. We went after people who didn't go to church and knocked doors, and that takes a lot longer than splitting other churches, you know. Sadly, that's how too many churches get started, and they usually don't last when that happens. I commend all of you here today for seeking to serve the Lord, for being here in college. I know that it's expensive. I know that it takes a great sacrifice. I would imagine, just looking out at you, that 10 or 20% of you are probably struggling to find work to keep your bills paid. Many of you have the benefit that you've been raised in a good Christian home, and your parents made preparation for you to go to college, and you're being supported by them, and that's a tremendous blessing, but not everybody has that. I was 25 years old when I went to Bible college, had a wife and a child, and did have a career profession that I could earn a living. I was a welder. And moved to Springfield, Missouri to go to college, and worked 40 hours a week, second shift, and went to school full-time. Took about 16 to 18 hours a semester. And the only problem I had for those years was no sleep. And about 5 hours a night, get up to study before going to class, get out of class, go to work, get out of work, go to bed, go back to school the next day. You know how it works. Well, some are blessed not to have to do that, but I know you're willing. And finding a way to pay your school bills and work a job, many of you would have to work part-time work at places like McDonald's and things like that, and I know those are difficult things, but it expands your horizons. It trains you in dealing with people, with working, with paying your bills, learning a budget. I encourage all of you to take Dave Ramsey's course and learn how to manage your money and budget your money, and learn to live on rice and beans if you have to. All of you that are second and third year students already know ramen noodles are a wonderful thing that you can live in college on. And so I commend you for being here, for wanting to serve God, for sacrificing to serve God, for the hours it takes to study and prepare. And the professors and Brother Beal, the carrying on this college and the tradition of which it was started, and training all these young people that have graduated. Pleas and Amanda Hoyle grew up in our church as kids and came here to school, and Pleas is a Navy chaplain after serving as an assistant in two churches. Some of you go to the church in Philly where he served in an intern program, and was asked to serve over the other interns there, and then came on staff there, and then he worked in both a college setting and a assistant pastor position before becoming a chaplain in the Navy. His wife's education here allows her to homeschool their children, and so what a blessing that has been. Brother Matthew served with us 7.5 years, he and Tricia, and tremendous help and blessing to us in the church, and a great friendship we've established through the years because of that. Now Brother Sam Stewart and Amber both attended the college here, and Sam graduated and has a double major, both in music and Bible, and we hired him to work with our youth to start with. We didn't anticipate he would do music, but our music director's father came down with cancer and lives away, so he's having to travel there on the weekends, and Sam's taking over the choir, and he got us a little orchestra going in the church that he and Amber both play in also. Tremendous help and blessing, and we're so delighted to have him on staff at the church. So I commend all of you here today. Brother Jerry, I think, initiated coming over for chapel today. He's a student here on part-time. And today he's not in school, so he didn't have to come today, you know, and he came anyway. And Brother Pete serves as a deacon with us, and so does Jerry, and they came today in case you threw eggs at me or something, you know, they'd be here to defend me. And Brother Johnson and I had a year working together with the Korean ministry, and Brother Childs has been over to preach in my absence, and Brother Surratt spoke for us in the early days before he became pastor. And it's just a history and a blessing to see you, and I commend you for what you're doing. And thank God for this school and for all of you that are a part of it. It has a cost. It has a sacrifice. This is your boot camp. You're being trained for what you're going to face. I went through Paris Island, the Marine Corps boot camp, and then went to Vietnam after I finished my training. I understood in Vietnam why I went through all the training that I went through. Didn't understand it at the time. You won't understand all of your going through right now, the studies, the hours, the sleepless nights, the exams and all the other reading and all that sort of thing. But as you get out in the ministry and you face questions from people and you have to train people and you have to deal with all kinds of circumstances in the ministry, you'll begin to see why you came here and went to school and what it was really all about. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, and beginning in verse number 1, Paul wrote to Timothy, a young minister, and spoke about his training. He said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Many of you know this passage deals with several characteristic people. Those who strive for the masteries, the athlete, the soldier. And Paul shared these aspects with Timothy of the ministry and how he had to prepare himself and he had to be strong in the faith. And you are receiving training here that's going to help you for all of your life. It's going to prepare you for what you're going to face in the future. It's going to help you here to serve and much greater as you go out in a full-time way. He said to train faithful men who will train others also. And these professors are training you so you can train others also. This is a part of the extended discipleship that's going on. These men and women that teach here are discipling you so that you can in turn disciple others with the knowledge you gain and with the abilities that you learn as you go through school here. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul said in verse number 9, "For the preaching of the gospel I suffer trouble as an evildoer." You have to be aware that you go out into this world in which we live. This is like a little slice of heaven here at Bible College. But you go out in ministry and you're going back in the real world. Some of you may have served a bit in church before you came here, and so you have understanding of that. But you can sort of get lost in 4 years or 5 years at Bible College. And I encourage you, if you don't have a house full of kids and a definite place to go, stay and get all the education you can while you're here. Because when you go out, you'll wish you had more than what you have. And you'll need every bit of what you learn while you're here. Dispensationalism. Verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You have everybody around you believes like you do. Of course, you got one student here, I'm sure, that's smarter than everybody else, and he's going to change what everybody else believes, you know, because he's hooked up on something that nobody else knows about, you know. Any college you go to, that's going to happen. But the majority of people here believe as you believe. And the professors believe alike dispensationally in theology, in doctrine. And it's important that you get grounded in those things well because you're going out in the world to serve in a place where people do not believe as we believe. Today, the Hollywood media crowd calls us extremists. They would question a politician if he believes the Genesis account of creation and label him as some kind of weird person because he simply believes what the Bible says. And that's the world that you're going out into to minister. And it's important that you are grounded and sure and have the knowledge of the Word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 18, he warned Timothy to prepare for a good warfare in the faith. He tells him here to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, enduring hardness. But then beginning in verse number 24, he balances that as he stirs him to be prepared for a fight for the faith. Then he says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. A balance in ministry is a key in every way. Keeping a proper balance, not allowing yourself to become so extreme in some area that you're not effective in the work of the ministry for Christ, that you offend people or that you turn people away from you so you have no opportunity to minister to them because of extremism. Jesus is the only one who had perfect balance. He knew when to make a whip of cords and drive the money changers out of the temple and when to stoop down and write on the ground and forgive a woman who was taken in adultery. He had an absolute and perfect balance in his life, and it's key that you learn that balance, because if we become extreme in some way, we won't be able to minister to people who turn away from us. Verse 19, he said, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Even here at college, you're doing visitation in your local churches. You're going out door to door, and that is Bible. That is still good evangelism. It is not as easy today as it was 50 years ago. When I went to the town of Fort Mill, there were 4,000 people there. It was a cotton mill village. And I would knock on a door and somebody would say, "Come in." And the reason their voice was like that is because they had a great big dip of snuff in their chin, you know. "Come in, the door's open. You an insurance salesman or a preacher?" It's the only person who wears a suit, you know. And I'd sit on the porch with them. You could knock on the door and they'd just say, "Come in." They wouldn't have to unlock 3 deadbolts. But all that's changed, my friends, in the 35 years that I've been there. And now today, it is difficult to get in a home. It's difficult for anybody to invite you in. It's difficult for somebody to sit on the porch with you. They see you coming, they think you're a Jehovah's Witness. Or a Bob Jones student. So they don't want to talk to you, you know, either one. And you're wearing a white shirt and a black tie, you know. So it's not open today like it was. It's hard, but door-to-door evangelism is still good. Daily in the temple and every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And so we go out and we try to lead people to Christ. We invite people to church. We give out Bibles and tracts and Gospel of John and Romans, and all of those things are good, but never forget the primary goal is to give the gospel, to share the testimony of Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and why He died for them, and then to make a disciple of the person who makes a profession of faith. It's important we don't just leave them. Our goal is not so we can come to the chapel, Mike, and say, "I was able to lead 3 people to the Lord this past Sunday." Our goal is to see those people get baptized and into church and productive, and people that can be trained to carry on the faithful ministry that you're carrying on even now. The school where I went was very heavy in emphasizing starting churches. This school started with an emphasis of evangelism because of Brother Comfort and his calling in ministry. And that was, in the early days, the reason many students came here was to study evangelism. They have all the other courses, of course, as you know, and well-rounded. So there was no difficulty there. The school I went to emphasized church planting. They still had missions and secondary education and a lot of other things. But I went through school believing that the day would come that I would start a church. I thought that I would do other preliminary things before that, but in God's plan, as soon as I graduated, I moved back to the area I was from, and the town of Fort Mill was across the river, did not have an independent Baptist church, and so I felt led of the Lord to start one there. And I was taught to go somewhere to a town and give your life to that place and stay there through the difficulties and the hardships and the trials and the tests, and be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Don't quit, in other words. That's good advice for Bible college too, friends. Don't quit. Stick with it. You'll reap if you faint not. You'll gain something through the endurance of what you're going through. First of all today, like Timothy, your maturity will equip you for a walk with God. What you gain here is equipping you for a walk with God for the rest of your life. Ephesians 4:1, we're to walk worthy of our calling. I don't know about you, but that weighs heavy upon my shoulders. That I have a responsibility to walk worthy of the Lord. To walk worthy of His calling. In 1 Corinthians, the calling is, the believers are called saints of God. The terminology like that, like Christians in Acts chapter 11, is something that deals with our character, our integrity, our calling, and our commitment. And God knows the ministry today needs those characteristics evident before all men, that we have a calling of God that establishes a Christian character and integrity of life and a commitment to the Lord that can't be shaken by the winds of time and the troubles and trials that come our way. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, the Bible speaks of all the sins of the flesh and the lost who have no part in the kingdom of God, and that's the people you're going to try to reach. And you have been saved, and you've been washed, you've been sanctified and justified, and now you have an opportunity to serve the Lord because of His salvation and because of His calling. Many of you have been saved at a young age. A year ago, Brother Alton was at our church with the big ensemble, and we always enjoy groups coming from the college, and he brought the big group, and I took a little bit of time and polled the group as they sat in our choir. Every student there was saved when they were 4 or 5 or 6 years of age in a Christian home and then came here to go to Bible college. Many of them were saying they were from Lattimore, North Carolina, or the surrounding area here. And I said, are any of you actually from there, or are you living there because you're going to college? And they were all living there because they were going to college. There were no local people that had gotten saved and were in the college here other than professors' kids and that sort of thing. That's an amazing statistic. That everybody in that ensemble was saved at a young age, raised in a Christian home, and has gone off to Bible college. Well, that's a glorious truth. Any parent or grandparent rejoices to see that result and see that take place, because that's our anticipation for our youth, and that's our hope. The problem is, when you graduate from college, you're going out into a world that nobody is like that. They don't listen to the kind of music you listen to. They aren't raised in a Christian home like you were. They weren't saved at 4 or 5 years of age. I was saved at 24, and I was a horrible, sinful man. Former Marine, back from Vietnam, I thought I could live any way I wanted to and nobody could tell me the difference. God worked in my heart and saved us when we were 24. My wife and I got saved together the same day. And we immediately got in church with both feet and started growing. And within a year, we were in Bible college to serve the Lord. But I know what the world is like. My father drank a quart of liquor every day for 40 years. Brother Kahiwat, he got saved 6 years before he died. And thank God, I used to walk the floors at night and think I'm a pastor and I'm serving God, and my own father lives next door who's lost and without Christ. And God saved him. My mother got saved when I was in Vietnam. Crisis is often the opportunity for growth. The crisis that she went through with having a son wounded in Vietnam caused her to seek the Lord and get saved. My father came along much later after I was in the ministry and able to deal with him myself. This school is preparing you for your walk that you're going to face. And it's important that we walk in such a manner that we're worthy of our calling and that we live for God as Bible-believing, separatist, Baptist people. We used to call ourselves fundamentalist. And the world has used that word in a derogatory fashion to the point that most folks don't even use that word anymore to describe who they are. I like what the federal government, the IRS, termed what independent Baptists are biblicist. That is a good term. I like that. I'm glad they see that. We're biblicist. We follow the Bible. But there are few denominations out there in the religious world today that still follow the Bible, my friends. They follow what the head of their denomination says or what the governing body says, and you receiving the truth from the Word of God will not be just readily accepted because you put up a shingle out there and say this is a Baptist church. Paul said, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the Word of God is not bound. It is the grace of God that we're saved, and we have an opportunity to serve the Lord. It's important we don't look down from a lofty perch upon unsaved people, people that you've never experienced the lifestyle that they have and the error of their ways. You're going to be ministering to them and trying to reach them and trying to help them up a step or two at a time in their spiritual growth. And so it's important that you don't get discouraged and you don't quit, that you have endurance and patience and long-suffering and love for people, because those characteristics will help you in ministering to others even greater than your Bible knowledge will help you in ministering to them. Being followers as dear children of Christ. God will guide your steps. He'll light your path. He'll make a way for you when you want to serve Him and you're willing to make sacrificial efforts to serve the Lord and give Him your life. We want to become like the Lord, but there are certain attributes of God that are beyond us. I've never been able to attain sovereignty. I've never been able to obtain omnipresence. I was scheduled once for two funerals at the same time in two different locations, but I couldn't be at both places at the same time. I was able to make both by allowing me to go first at one funeral and another minister to finish and then go last at the graveside with the other person, and I was able to be at both funerals. But I couldn't be there at the same time. I've never obtained that. I think sometimes I'm omniscient because I seem to know what's going to happen at the church before it takes place sometimes. But I'm not. And I'm certainly not immutable. Even though I'm an independent Baptist, we don't change much. But we do change. Those things are called incommunicable. They can't be passed on to man. But God's moral attributes are passed on to you. God deals with you as His child, and He expects holiness from you as He is holy. Righteousness in your daily life. Mercy and grace and long-suffering and love and the fruit of the Spirit are communicable attributes that God has placed in you by Spirit and will use you to perform in the work of the ministry that you're doing. What you gain here will equip you in the walk of life. You'll stick with it and then get out in the work and ministry. Secondly, your maturity must help you to avoid the problem of the flesh. What you gain here will strengthen you in life, and you know what is right, but the problem is you're going to face opportunity to be tempted not to do what is right. Some of you are going to face temptations you've never faced in your life because of the shelter that you've grown up under and the shelter that you have here at Bible College. We keep each other accountable. I enjoyed this young lady's testimony once I could hear her a little bit about another student being a blessing to her and seeing that she had some needs and encouraging her. And it's important that we do that with one another. We help hold one another accountable. We lost one of our pastors who went to the Southern Baptist and sold the church buildings and property to them and that sort of thing. And I felt like he had some real serious needs in his life and was depressed and discouraged and didn't have anybody to go to. So I set up this once a month lunch that we go to. I said, everybody thinks we're a bunch of narrow-minded Pharisees, so let's call it the Sanhedrin. So once a month, the Sanhedrin meets Captain Steve's, and we just hold each other accountable and try to encourage one another. Everybody except Brother Triplett, and he's there to gossip. You know how he is. You're going out into a society that's characterized by sinful traits. Churches today that this issue of homosexuality has become so widespread. Many denominational churches allow members who are homosexual and will do weddings for homosexuals. And they already, many years ago, got past preaching against adultery and fornication and anything of that nature. And the Bible's very clear, as in the days of Achan, when there's sin in the camp, there is no power of God. And you got churches today that welcome anything and everything and have no doctrine and no name and no teaching against what is wrong. And so they may entertain and they may have growth, but they don't have the power of God. Because you can't have that and condone sin. It's important we walk as children of light. And there's some who will not come to you because you're a child of light. They're in darkness. They don't want their sin exposed. Makes them feel guilty to come to church. It is very difficult today to get unsaved people to attend a Bible-believing church. There was a day when the lost would come. You'd invite them. They were your neighbor. They'd come to church with you. Get an opportunity to visit them. You might get them saved. Now there's that dividing line that people that are for God and people who are against Him. And they don't want anything to do with the church. Sadly, some of them have reasons because of what they've seen from Christians. Seen from ministers who've failed publicly and in a life of sin. So it's vital that you and I walk with God and we obtain strength to overcome the power of the flesh and that we endure in the ministry God has called us to have. Lastly, your maturity will be seen in the life you live. The school will prepare you to mature, to walk with God. You've got to gain the victory over the flesh through your maturity. And then the world will see your maturity by the life you live, by the love you share, by the joy and peace you have that the world cannot obtain, by the long suffering you show to others, by being gentle with the lost and the weaker brother, and how you in meekness demonstrate the grace of God to others. By your goodness and temperance and faith, you will demonstrate to them that God is real and He lives in you and He can live in them as well and deliver them from the power of sin. If we're the spiritually mature people we ought to be, then we should be able to rescue those that are taken in a fault. Galatians 6, 1 and 2, you that are spiritual, restore such an one that is taken in a fault. Go after those who have the need. Be not weary in well-doing. You will reap if you faint not, if you don't quit. You came here to learn and grow and be trained for missions or pastorate or youth or church schools or office or whatever it may be. Or maybe you didn't come here for those reasons. Maybe you came here to seek a wife or a husband. That's okay. I'm glad you're looking in Christian territory instead of out in the world. I heard one preacher say something on Facebook the other day about boys and girls in the church. He said, thank God at least they're doing what's right. Looking, you know, boys looking for girls instead of boys, you know. Our maturity must help us overcome the flesh and the world, sin. Rescue the people out there who are lost. show them the way out. We're the light to do that. Show them that God is real. We're the salt of the earth to do that. And your life will reveal your maturity. I've seen a lot of talented people who had ability and talent, but they didn't endure. Or they got tempted into the flesh and they lost their testimony. Hardest thing in the world, my friend, will be to regain a testimony that is lost. Vital, we don't lose our testimony. Stay close to God. Keep short accounts with your sin. Confess faithfully and regularly to the Lord and walk with God. And recognize, but for the grace of God, we could be in the same situation that others are in. And maybe we can reach them because of what we know and what we've learned. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the assembly today. Pray your blessings on them through the school day today and this week. And Father, that you'll meet the needs of those that have a special need today. That you'll encourage each in their walk with you. Help us to be motivated to serve you. Help us to walk humbly, knowing we've been saved by the grace of God and that we still have flesh that we must battle. So strengthen us, O Lord, for the work you've called us to do. And bless this school, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.